Blog Talk Radio.
Honored to be here. Y'all are worshiping already up in here. So I'm honored to just come in and go with the flow. Everybody happy about being in the house of the Lord tonight? Come on. Hallelujah. So Father, take center stage so that you would be seen and glorified. Father, we want to see your will be done. We want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your glory cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. So move by your spirit. Continue to move by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Can somebody put your hands together in this place? Hallelujah. I just want to feel the stems up here. Yeah. Come on, somebody say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give them the highest praise. My testimony. You have rescued my life. You have rescued my life. And I'm never going back. You have rescued my life. Come on, somebody help me say you. Come on, is that your testimony? My response is hallelujah. You're my redeemer. Hallelujah. My redeemer. Come on, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're my redeemer. Say hallelujah. Come on, let's raise it. Say you are. Come on, somebody raise it in this place. And I'm never. Say you are put you my.
Go!
If you're grateful. Hallelujah. How many know that there is only one name with the power to save? There is only one name with the power to heal, the power to deliver. And his name is Jesus. It's the name above every name. And we worship you, Lord. We worship you. There is Come on, do you believe it? Say, our God. He reigns forevermore. Forevermore. Come on, one more time. Say, our God. Come on, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Father, I still believe. I still believe. Because you, Lord, you are worthy. And no one can worship you for me. For all the things that you've done for me, no one can worship you for me. Do you know that your worship has its own fingerprint, its own DNA? You, Lord, you are worthy. No one. Worship.
what I call the sound of heaven. I spent time listening at different worship leaders around the world. A couple of years ago, I was introduced to this young lady whose voice was like water to me. And when I heard her sing, I was like, good gracious. So I started looking for her on YouTube and listening to her and listening. I had a chance to meet her and her husband a few years ago. And I said to her, I said, my church would love you because you really are anointed. You can sing, but you know God, and you really are anointed. A couple of weeks ago, we were sharing, and she said, I'm coming to D.C. for something. And I said, really? Oh, I hope you can come by and just worship with us. And then her husband called me and said, you know, my wife is in D.C. at a women's conference. And when she told me where she was, I said, dude, that's like 5 minutes from my church. And I got on the phone. I called Pastor. I was like, Pastor, there's this young lady in town, and she's right up the street, and I think she would bless our church. She reminds me of the first time I heard Tasha Cobbs. I was like, who is this? And then she reminds me of the first time I heard Tanya Baker. I was like, who is this? And she reminds me of the first time I heard Gay Arbuckle. I was like, what in the world is going on? But I'm telling you today, First Baptist Church of Glen Arden, God has favored us so tremendously that this anointed vessel is here. And she's in town. She has a little single out in the lobby, and I want you guys to support her. Her name is Miranda Willis. Can you give her a great big First Baptist welcome as she comes to worship with us? Come on, make her feel welcome. Oh, come on, make her feel at home. She's my friend and my sister, Miranda Willis.
Hallelujah. Blessings to you, Pastor, and First Lady Jenkins, for allowing me to call my brother, Stephen Hurd. We're just going to worship some more. Our God is amazing, and he's wonderful. We can rejoice right there because he is. Just that. God, we lift you and bless you and praise you. We give you our best with the lifting of our hands and the lifting of our voices. Continue to receive our offering. Receive our best because we understand that there's nobody like you in all the earth. And we're not ashamed to lift you. Actually, we freely do it. We freely worship. We freely worship. We freely worship. We freely worship. We freely worship you, oh God. And we cry, oh, oh, oh. There's nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. Oh, 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 there's nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. Hey, oh, 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 there's nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. And we're crying, oh, oh, oh. Nobody like you, Lord. That's all the song says. No. Say we worship. Cry out.
He's able. evil. He's evil. What he says he will do it for you. He's able. Don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day that you have granted us, a day that we have never seen before, and surely we will never, ever see this day again. We ask you, O God, to continue to bless us with your peace, with your mercy, and with your grace, O God. We ask for the forgiveness of our friends, for the forgiveness of our neighbors, for the forgiveness of our family members, for the forgiveness of this nation and the nations all over the world, and for ourselves, O God. We ask, Father God, that you will speak to us today as you use your service, as always, to declare your truth, O God. None of them, but all of you. As they decrease, Father, we ask you to increase in them and speak through them, God. Use their tongue as the pen of a ready writer, O God, to write on the parchment of our hearts, O God. And, Father, we pray even now that our hearts will be receptive, O God, that our minds, O God, would just become clear, O God. Lord, that every obstacle of the enemy that is trying to penetrate our minds to hinder us from receiving, Lord, would be deluded. Oh, Father, we ask, God, that you speak now. Speak now, Father. We invite you, O God, to speak through your servants in the precious name of Jesus. Come on in, Bishop and Apostle, and let the Lord God use you both. Come on in. Come on in.
Good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good night.
Good morning.
Glory to God. Good morning. Glory to God wherever you are. It's morning here in Louisiana. You know, in some places it's midnight, you know. But as long as the word of God goes out, you know, and we pray that we'll deliver a good message today and that many, many people will be saved. Hallelujah. I am Bishop James Washington. My wife is Apostle Linda Washington. We're under the teachings of Apostle David Callender, our brother, our friend, our distinguished leader. Hallelujah. And we're glad to be here once again to bring a message to all people. Now, I think we're going to do this message today and possibly, I don't know when we'll be back. But praise the Lord God Almighty. Thank him for each and every day that he sends to us. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to be coming to you today from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and also chapter 11. Now, Apostle and I, well, she did most of it as usual. She broke it down, and I think you're going to enjoy this sermon. She'll be here in about, I'm going to give her 5 minutes, okay, because she was already at the shower, so she was about to get in when I came downstairs, and I moved like a two-shade turtle. I'm very, very slow. I'm starting to get up in age now, and praise the Lord, I'm starting to get old age pains and aches. But God will bring us through everything. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And this day I pray for everybody to have awakened or gone to bed, whatever time it was, where you are, that everything went well with you and your family. You know, it's a good thing, you know, to hear from family, but it's not good when you hear a family member has taken ill or is crossed over, and, you know, especially if your family member or your close friends or whatever did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray every day when I do the word of salvation, I try to make it, as my grandma used to say, short and sweet. It means be kind, when you deliver anything, and get to the point. Get to your point. You know, some people want to read you the Bible, half of the Bible, trying to get you to become a Christian. That's not the way to do it. Do not push people away from Christianity. You don't want to beat people up out the head and shoulders. This is in the Bible, that's in the Bible. You let people talk. You slowly interject to what you want to say about the Lord, you know, and constantly say, if they tell you something, that they received a nice gift, and you say, well, to God be all the glory and honor and praise, and you ought to thank him for that gift. These people may not even attend the church. Keep saying that, and every now and then, and you push Jesus in front, always. Put Jesus in front. If somebody compliments you, especially ladies, you know, people like to compliment a lady, and sometimes a man's trying to talk to the lady, you know, and his words are not right. He says things harshly. Some women will say, oh, that's a nice dress you have. And say, well, thank God. Thank the Lord for that. Don't claim anything unless you say that our Father in heaven has given you this gift. So I just wanted to say that it was on my heart to say that, we got to put God first. We do, people. We do. We are in not times, like people say we're in times to worry. We're in the last days. Now, people have been saying the last days for many years, but it's getting closer and closer to Armageddon. If you just pay attention, you're trying to control the weather, you're trying to control the electricity, you're trying to control the oil. You're trying to make the United States a dictatorship. I'm be straight and forward with it. They're going to have a problem. Oh, okay, Apostle. Yeah, I got what they're saying. I understand they're trying to control everything, but it's all in the Word of God. It's all in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Apostle, are you okay? All right. Need assistance?
No.
Okay. Now, Pastor is going to be with you in a few seconds to introduce herself. I introduced us, but I thought you might want to introduce yourself. Okay. So, all right. Here you go, Pastor. Okay, here's Pastor Linda Wilson.
Bless your name, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Savior, Savior, Savior. Holy Redeemer, we have come to worship you, Lord. We have come to worship you, Lord. Oh God, to bow down our minds before you, God. As many of us have bowed down our lives, we bow down before you to worship and to adore you. We've come to worship you. Almighty God, our Prince of Peace, our Lord of Glory. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we thank you. And we worship your holy name. You are worthy, O God, to be praised. You are worthy, Father, for all that you do. And just because of who you are, God, we have come to worship you. With this message, your message, your word, your doctrine, only you, God. Let it be all of you and none of us. Let it be, God. Let us be mindful that this is your word. Be mindful to be attentive. Attentive to your word. Because you're watching, you're listening. You can even hear our minds. So I pray our minds be in place, placed into this book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. Praise God. We'll be talking about our Savior, as we always do. The word is his word. So we're going to be talking so much about how superior he is. He is superior over all. You know how we have to answer to our so-called superiors in the world, in the workforce, in leadership, our leaders. Our overseers in the church, they call them our superiors, our leaders. There's no leader like Jesus. No one as superior as he is. He is all of superiority, as it were. So let's go on with the message. Apostle Callender, once again, thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to come and break bread with the saints of God and with those that have not become a Christian yet. We pray after this message that there will be those that will give their lives to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And we are so thankful to have this opportunity to come once again. Thank you, Apostle Callender, our brother. Most of all, our brother, our friend, and overseer. Amen. Thank you for your leadership and how we can follow someone with the godly character that is needed in leadership. We can follow. We have to first learn to follow, but we must follow the right ones. The ones that God has connected us to, those divine connections. We follow our leaders as the leaders follow Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, here we are in Hebrews. Get your mind set. Get your mind in that, in this book. We will be in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to go to chapter 4, and a little bit of introduction to this great book. It's called the Hall of Fame book. The Hall of Faith. And so we're going to delve into this today. I spent a lot of time in it yesterday. And let us go. The topic today is our great high priest. Our great high priest. Amen. And his name is the name above all names. Many of you already know him, and some may be getting introduced to him for the first time today. And that's a good thing. Amen. Oh, God, have your way, Lord. Holy Spirit, rain down in your power. Hallelujah. Let your voice be heard. Let your power fall. Let it continue on this line because we already have it. We have worshiped God on this line. Prayers have already been said. Thanks up to heaven. And here we are. Let's get it. Glory be to God. Our great high priest. Hallelujah. So we're going to be in the third section of this book. Yeah, I believe it's the third, fourth. Yeah, the third section. And we're going to be discussing the superiority of a Christian the Christian lifestyle, the superiority of the Christian lifestyle. And this book is proclaiming Jesus to be a superior leader with a superior life. And overall, it's He who we serve. And we work with those who also serve Him with holiness. So, in order for us to be the leader that pleases God, the minister, the leader, we got to go with the vision of Jesus Christ. So throughout all 13 chapters of Hebrew, we're only going to be getting into a couple of them, but the writer, and again, nobody really knows who wrote the book of Hebrews, but the writer paints a picture of a better life. It's like a portrait, if you will, like a canvas. And as you're going through the word, you can just see it all laid out as you're going through these chapters. It gives us a picture of a better life, a pictures of when you look, you can see it. And it contrasts with the old one, with the old life. It's in direct contrast with our old life. Amen. And in chapter 11, just to give you a little synopsis here about the people of faith, there are a number of patriarchs living by faith, and they are energized by their hope, by the vision of what a godly character is. They are energized as they are around others. They are being taught by leaders that are living the word. So all these people were still living by faith when they died. And a few of those I can name is Moses, Abraham, Joshua, Joseph. They set examples of godly character. And if you will, you can just start in, you know, chapter one and move on all the chapters. But just giving you a little synopsis of what goes on, what went on in 13 and in 10 and in 4. You don't have time to go through all of them, but we'll be going through the book of Hebrews as we teach for a little bit. So, anyway, these people, Moses and Joshua, Joseph, the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were all portraits, if you will, of those who lived the life. Mm-hmm. They had that godly character. They had that tenacity. They had that boldness. They had that will to do the Father's will and not compromise. Did they make mistakes? Yeah. Now, when we read the book of Enoch, we don't see where Enoch was delving into unrighteousness and darkness. You know, we talked about darkness a lot. He stayed communicating with God. He stayed in faith. He caught that vision of what it really is like to be a godly person. He hung out with God, hung out with Jehovah every day. He was also a prophet. And he preached righteousness. And next thing you know, Bible tells us that God took him up. He didn't taste death in this earth. God was so impressed by the lifestyle. He looked just like God. He looked like God. He looked like him because he did what he does. Hallelujah. So God just decided one day he would just take him up. Come up with me. Amen. And one day we want to go up. We want to go up as well. We want to go up and be. We want to go up. So we have to keep stepping up as we are here in this earth. Stepping up to righteousness. Stepping on the path of righteousness. Climbing as we go and grow. As we go in the things of God, we grow. And we get higher in God. Our mindset changes. We no longer have that old portrait. Now, if you, speaking of portraits, or even a painting, a beautiful piece of art, one person will look at that piece of art and see differently from what someone else sees. I find that to be true about art. You can look at a picture or even listen to a song. And some people would say, there are a couple of songs that Bishop and I listen to. And he said, I don't know what they're talking about. And so I began to use my imagination. I began to use my imagination. I say, well, I believe they're talking about this and that. And he said something else and so forth and so on. Because we've seen it in a different way. But with the word of God, it has to be seen in the way that we should see it, in the way it's portrayed by God himself in this book, in this wonderful, holy book. So another thing is, look at one of your pictures of when you were much younger. Just maybe when you were in high school. And then when you first got married and you look at your marriage pictures, you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s. Some of us still are. I don't wish to ever go back there. But if you look at those portraits, even from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you'll see a difference in the way your face looks. And even if some people go and get facelifts, you can pretty much tell when they have because their face looks stiff, their mouth is stiff, you know, they've had the Botox and all of that. I'm not going to get into this too much, trust me. But they look different. I have a cousin who had a facelift. She looked different, but you could see that something has been done to her face. You can see it. If she had not told me, I still would have seen it because I saw her before and then I saw the after. But she still didn't look like in her 20s, that natural young face. You could see it's stiff looking. It looks more like a mannequin because the mouth and everything is stiff. It's like when they talk, they're talking through their teeth because you can hardly move your lips. But anyway, let me get off that. So the reason why I say that, and just to expound just a little more, is that when you go into the Word of God and you begin to learn how to be a real Christian, your life changes. There's a life change, a change in the way you look, a change in the way you talk, a change in the way you act. Actions always speak louder than words. I say it almost daily. Amen. And so the reason why I say that is because something happens, a great change happens when resurrection comes, when we are resurrected from a dead life through Jesus Christ. Our life changes, and people will see the change. Some will want to be around you, some will love it, and some won't like it at all because they have not gotten there. And some will say, wow. That's not the person I once knew. That's what you want to hear. That's not the person I used to hang out with. Wow. Look at you. Look at what happened. And that's what happens when you begin to develop that godly character and you grow in God. So it's a superior way. We're not the superior
but it's the superior way to live the life that's pleasing to God. Amen? So the people that live by faith, when they died, they did not receive the things promised. Excuse me. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. From a distance. They welcomed it. They welcomed it. They believed those before them. They believed what God was saying to them. They knew it was his voice. Amen. And this whole book of Hebrews invites us to, gives an invitation to a new future, gives an invitation to literally faith. We invite you to come in and dwell in the house of the Lord. We invite you to come in and see what it's all about. Amen. See if you like it or not. We must try before we say we don't want it. There's a lot of things I'll say I don't eat. One time I said, I'm not going to eat those turkey necks. I'm not going to eat that hot stuff because they were boiled in a lot of pepper. But one day I tasted, it tasted so good. It was seasoned so well that the pepper didn't really matter. It wasn't super hot like I thought it would be. But the word of God is full of fire. When we receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will receive of the anointing. We will receive of the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we want to receive. And we want those that don't know him to receive today. This book shows us how to see another life. And that life is with Jesus Christ. So let's go on here. So when you look, like I say, when you look at yourself, you'd be like, you might not even be like, oh, Lord, what happened to me? Oh, my God. Look how I used to look and look how I look now. But spiritually, if you have come in the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and you're walking the walk and you're not just giving the lip service and we're not just faking, your life is so beautiful. And you will look beautiful no matter what the age. And the Bible tells us that we will bear fruit even in our old age. Mm-hmm. Book of Psalms there. You will bear fruit even in your old age. You will still look beautiful. And, you know, holiness is just so beautiful. It's indescribable. And it can be seen in your life. So that is what we're going to be talking about today, the change that takes place when we come out of darkness. We're no longer participating in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. We're moving on now. We don't live like that anymore. We talked about the darkness. We talked about the light. And the light can only come from Jesus Christ. He lights up our life. And he makes it so that people will desire to have him by the way you look now, how you do things. Not so much how you, because they'll see the glow. They'll see the love, the kindness. I mean, some people love, you know, say, I love you, and they're kind and give good gifts and all that. But it's not the same thing. It's not the same because there's nothing more genuine than the love of Christ. The genuineness of it, that character, there's nothing like it because Jesus Christ is the ultimate superiority. And when we are following him, we're going to shine, my God. We're going to shine. He's going to order our steps in his word, and we're going to walk with Jesus. He'll never leave us alone. I was hearing that song in my head this morning, You Are Not Alone, I Am Here With You. When I hear that song, Bishop, I always think about Jesus. Amen. Because I know I'm not alone. I know he's a friend of the friends. Hallelujah. A brother of all the brothers. My God, he's our elder brother, and he takes very good care of us. So like I said, when you look at that portrait, when you look at the portrait in terms of your life, you see the changes that took place. When you look back, you don't talk the same. You don't walk the same places. You don't even think the same. And I admired my bishop so much the other day, well, last week. And after I tell y'all this, I'm going to get to the scriptures. Y'all know I just like to talk to y'all. Not only talk to y'all about things in our lives, but the word as well, most of all the word. But there was a man that called here. And I admired my husband so much. I said, thank you, Lord. But the first part, the first thing that came to my mind was, why is he even talking to this guy? Why is he doing that? This guy calls, and he acted as though he had not done my bishop any wrong, but he did. And I said, I was thinking the wrong way, y'all. I'm just confessing, okay? I asked God to forgive me. I said, you know, he should have just, you know, that old flesh came up. You know, he should have just hung up on it. He should have just said, man, after all that you did to me and to my life, man, I really don't want to talk to you. That's the first thing I was thinking. I was like, wow. Okay. But the thing that struck me the most, that bothered me the most, is that he never asked for forgiveness. He never said I'm sorry for what he did. This was one of his best friends, supposed to be. He thought he was. But something really bad happened. And I won't go into all the details. But this man, well, I don't know if Bishop want to share that part, but he did wrong, okay? Or he said he doesn't. But this man ended up in an affair with Bishop's wife. His friend that was in and out of his house, supposed to be friend, was a snake. And so he called Bishop last week, hadn't called him in a long, it's been years, but he knew about their affair all along. He knew about the affair all these years. But now he can't walk. He can't do anything basically for himself. But he called and he said, man, he said, everybody's dying. That's how he said, hey, man, what's up, blah, 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 like nothing happened, you know. And that bothered me because I thought, well, if he's going to call, I'm just being honest with y'all. You know, my flesh came up and I had to repent and I had to say, God forgive me. But I was so proud of my husband because he never mentioned it. Bishop James never mentioned it at all. And he talked to him absolutely nothing happened. And I was like, wow, that's beautiful. Because I've done the same thing. But when it was happening to my husband, I was a little appalled by it. Because I know how much wrong this man had done to him. But in the end of it all, they talked, and they talked about old times and the clubs they were in and all of this stuff. And my husband chuckled with him, and like it never happened, like he was really a brother. But he really is a child of God. And I'm just confessing. I ask God to forgive me and all of that. But my mind went there, but then God got me in the right place. You know, he got me back. You know, that's not the way to think. And he did the right thing because I've done it too. But see, it happened to somebody I love. When it was happening to me, I didn't feel that way at all. But while it was happening to him and while it was happening to one of my children, it was different because it was like it was stabbing me when it was happening, like the first time, okay? I'm just being honest. I know a lot of people wouldn't even say that, but I got to say it. That's what God does. He gives us another way of thinking. He gives us that love that people don't understand. How could you forgive this man after all he did? How could you forgive this person after all he did? Why? Because of the love of Christ. Christ went to the cross for us all. Hallelujah. And he became sin for us, okay? All of that was put on him. What we should have been paying for, the debt we were supposed to pay, Jesus Christ paid it. Because only one as superior as him, as loving as him, would do it. He came to do it. Go ahead, Bishop. I'm sorry. Amen.
This is what the Bible says. You can't forget your brother, but never see God's face.
Amen. You got to forgive.
That's why I see
it. I'm with you, Bishop. I want to see God's face. Amen.
Everything that I sinned with, everyone I sinned with, yes, I had affairs. I asked God to forgive me and to forgive those ladies.
Amen.
And you learn. Give a name. Just say their name.
Call them out of your spirit.
You know? You got to say it out. But I let the Holy Spirit know, but I let the enemy know.
Amen.
I let the enemy know that I have forgiven you.
Amen.
Anything that
we have
done.
Glory to God.
I only look up to my grandmothers and my grandfathers. My grandmother's parents, I knew her, my great, you know, grandmother and grandfather, I knew them. I used to talk with them and say, well, I was like five, you know, and four, five and six or something like that when they crossed over. But I knew them. But I'm just saying that I was just taught always, you know, somebody do you something, ask God to forgive them. And a minister told me this when we moved to Slidell.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me an invitation to come to his house for a little Bible study. And,
mm-hmm.
and on the way back, he's telling me, well, why won't you forgive people? You know, I forgive my father because he didn't come around to see me but my birthday and maybe Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday is in January and Christmas is in December. So I may have seen him twice, maybe once in a while. He told me three times. Three occasions in my life that I was actually with my biological father. And I was with my stepfather more than I was with my real father. And in 365 days, 362 I was with my stepfather. That's 362 days more than my father every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I forgave him for passing on this drinking problem I had. I didn't know. You know?
But you find out in the Word of God.
You
begin to see why things happen in your life. Amen.
I saw with my eyes.
Amen.
My grandfather and my father. I saw them sitting at the table drinking. He even brought me to a little restaurant and bar that he used to be at every day. And my grandfather and father's father and me and my father, they used to go there almost every day. You know, and when I did go with him, when my mother would let me go with him, he'd take me there, you know, to see my grandma, because they only lived 2 blocks away from him. You know, but that's it. I had no close ties with that side of the family.
Okay.
But I have forgiveness for anything they may have done.
Amen.
It caused me.
That's
yeah.
where the change took place.
Oh.
Because there was some bitterness.
Yeah. Well, there was some bitterness.
There was bitterness. And I had, you know, I know I wasn't totally bitter, but I know I wasn't bitter, but I was hurt. Some things that really hurt me. And the hurt remained for a long time. And I was weak, you know, for some things that happened. But when I met Jesus, when Jesus came into when I received them into my life.
Amen.
Oh my God. It changed the portrait of my life that's on this, I imagine it on this canvas. And when I go back and, you know, I see pictures and places and things that I've been, it's like this big, huge canvas of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as a portrait. And I see how the changes happened when I met Jesus, how it began to happen, and the hurt and the scorn and the failures and all of those things that was happening. Not that I've never failed since then, because I have. I haven't always made the best decisions.
We all fall short of
the Lord. Amen. But I knew, but I didn't know what was going to happen when I really received him, but I knew I had to. And because the Father was, he drew me to Jesus. And it's just miraculous. Because it happens and you don't see it. You know, a miracle happens and we don't see how it's happening, but it happens. Amen?
Amen.
So when Jesus was resurrected, it gives us resurrection life. If we are lifted up and out of an old life, a dead life, into life and life more abundantly. And it's a miracle. What takes place with forgiveness, what takes place with the real true love of the Savior, it's just beautiful. So I didn't know I was going there. But the Holy Spirit led us there.
Yes.
Because there are many people who's walking around with unforgiveness, hurt, bitterness, guilty conscience. But the word of God will, the blood of Jesus will wipe all of that out. He'll wipe it out, and you won't feel the hurt. You will remember what happened now, because, you know, people say, you know, the past is the past, the old. Yeah, it is the past, and the old is the old. But you do remember, but you don't have the hurt anymore. You're not going to have the hate anymore. You're not going to have the bitterness anymore. Amen? You're going to only have the love in your heart. Now, you might not feel comfortable around some people that has done wrong. You know, you might feel a little uneasy because you feel like, I can't trust this person. But nevertheless, you don't scorn them. You don't shun them. You don't do that. You just receive. And I, like I said, I admired my bishop so much, because bishop is known to fire up right away, you know. But he's changing in that area. Well, he just fire up on somebody right away. And, you know, like, what you mean by, you know. But God brings in that humility, you know, and that love is like no other love. And all through the conversation, nothing, not one thing was mentioned about the past. They talked about the past, but they talked about the fun they had. And he was saying that, man, everybody's dying. And I guess maybe he was thinking he was dying. Everybody's dying, man. You heard about this one died and that one died and the other one died. And some bishop knew about it and some he didn't. But just sharing this conversation, I was just like, wow, praise God. You know, and then I began to praise God and thank God, because that flesh will tell you, now, you know, you shouldn't be talking to him like that. That's the enemy, because the enemy wants to spread division. He wants to spread hatred. That's what he does, deception and lies. But when you come over to Jesus, you'll be able to forgive those people. You'll be able to move on without that hurt and without that pain, without the grief and the anxieties and all that it causes. Because somebody has violated you in some way, or violated us in some way. And I've had that violation quite a few times in different ways. So I'm just giving praises unto God because of where he's brought me from. And now when I look at the old portrait, I see, even though I'm older, but I'm wiser, I'm older, and I'm better, all because of Jesus Christ. I thought I was all right when I was walking in sin, when I was doing some things I shouldn't have been doing. But I thought I was an all right person. We all think we're just all right. You know, I didn't go out and murder anybody. I didn't go out and rape anybody. I didn't steal from anybody. So we think we're all right if we're fornicating, if we're committing adultery. We think we're okay, but it's okay because it's my life. I can do what I want to do. But no, it's not our lives. Our lives belong to God. He's the owner of us, and we just have to give him our life. You have to say, God, have your way with this life that you gave me. I choose for you to have your way with this life you gave me. So let's talk about our beautiful Savior some more. I'm talking about him and what he did to change the portrait, to change me, and to change me in the way that I used to be. All, you know, it's different. I look different. Yeah, I look different. I don't look like I'm 25 anymore, you know, but I look different spiritually. That's the most important. That's the most important of all, is to change spiritually. Amen. To have those spiritual riches, to have a wealth of the spirit. And then we can pass that wealth on. We have a great inheritance with Jesus. So let's get to, first of all, we're going to get to the first scripture, which is chapter 10. Let me turn. If you will, let's look into chapter 10 of Hebrews, and we're going to start at verse 19. Amen? Let's get here. I just wanted to share that. The Holy Spirit put it on my mind. It wasn't on the agenda, but the Holy Spirit has his way. I asked him to have his way. Somebody needed to hear that. Glory be to God. So,
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We got to face what can happen in time. We have to face it. You know, I would like to think that my face could look the way it looked when I was 20, even when I was 40, you know. When I was 40, I looked like I was in my 20s. But who cares about that? I'm just saying. I would like it, but I wouldn't like to be the way I used to be spiritually. I would not, and I tell you what, I wouldn't go get a facelift either. But that's just me. I'm not judging anybody. I wouldn't go get a facelift. I want to grow old gracefully. Amen. Not going to have anything done to my face. My cousin almost died on the, they say they lost her. Not almost, they lost her, and they brought her back. Well, Jesus brought her back when she was getting her facelift. And then she went back and did it a second time, something else she did to her nose or whatever. But she's so into her face, into her how she looked naturally. And that's okay. There's no crime in that. There's no sin in that. But I wouldn't do it. Kanye West's mother died on a table having a makeover. That's how she died, having a makeover, and she died doing surgery. So I don't want anybody cutting on me unless it's absolutely necessary. Amen? I don't want no knife going on my face and nowhere on my body if I don't have to have it. Amen. That's just me. I'm not judging nobody else. And people do what they want to do. Uh-huh. So I just wanted to paint a picture, just wanted to look at it like that, this picture that we could look at from a long time ago, and even how people look at life differently. We have different viewpoints when I talked about the canvas and I talked about the portrait. You know, if you go in an art gallery and you're standing there, you hear people talking, and one person saying, that looks like this, and that looks like that. And some of these abstract paintings, you could literally hold a conversation about them because everybody is seeing something different. Usually not two people can see the same thing, especially in an abstract painting. But anyway, we're supposed to be able to see the gospel the same way as the Holy Spirit leads us. Amen. Of course, we'll get revelation knowledge, but it's going to relate to the word. It's not going to change the word. It's not going to change the doctrine. It's not going to change the language. Glory be to God. And it's not supposed to change what the Bible expects us or how the Bible expects, how Jesus expects us to have this viewpoint. Our viewpoint is supposed to be in line with what this, what the gospel, what the message is portraying. It's supposed to be in line with holiness, in line with the character of a godly person. Amen? So we're supposed to see that view, even though we have different viewpoints, we still have to be on the same page. But when I say different, I mean that God may have given you a different revelation. That doesn't mean that the other person's revelation is wrong, but we're in the same scripture. And then as we expound, then the other person or other people may be able to see, well, I see what the Holy Spirit is doing. I see what the Holy Spirit is saying. And so let's read here. We're in chapter 10, and we will get started. I'll go on from here.
Amen.
So in your Bible, amen, in this 10th chapter of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews is telling us that Jesus is a superior high priest. And he is not just the high priest that offered the sacrifice. He himself is the sacrifice. Amen. I say amen to that. He himself is the sacrifice, and his sacrifice is the final sacrifice. Hallelujah. The final sacrifice that will end, listen, that will end, put an end to any need for any further sacrifice. There's no more need for any further sacrifice. Jesus Christ is not coming back to do another sacrifice. He made it. He was the sacrifice. It's done. He's already paid the price for all of our sins. Glory be to God. And that'll be about it. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to read now. Starting at verse 19. And it reads, Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. His flesh was the curtain that was opened up, is what it's saying, his flesh. You know how you just open up the curtains? You open up the curtains and let the light in? Well, his flesh was opened up as he was beaten and the blood flowed through his body. That's what it's saying. His flesh was the curtain. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. That's so important right there. Not neglecting to meet together, fellowship, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day, capital D-A-Y, drawing near. That day is the day when Jesus returns. That's what they're talking about. For if we deliberately sin after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. But here's what we get. It says here, but what remains is a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of the fire that will consume the adversaries. So anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God? and profane the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. This is the word of God. Very, very, very powerful. Powerful words here. So what this writer is saying, beginning in verse 19, just to summarize what he's saying in this discussion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, talking about his sacrifice and how sufficient he is in his grace, by pointing us to two amazing redemption or redemptive realism that we should be able to see. I'm going to give you the first one. He says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places, keep in mind, confidence, keep that word in mind. We have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he opened for us through his curtain. That curtain is his flesh. His flesh was opened up, and the blood just flowed out of his body. So because of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his sacrifice, because of his shed blood, that satisfied all of the requirements of God that was purchased for our forgiveness. It was required for our forgiveness. Now we have access to God. Hallelujah. And we are welcomed to go boldly before the throne of grace. We're welcomed into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And, you know, broken, we're broken, weak, failing in life, as it were. We can ask for forgiveness and get another portrait of ourselves. Be able to see ourselves in a different light. We can live in the boldness before God. Live in boldness before God. How amazing that is. That truly is amazing because of his amazing grace that is sufficient for us. It's all we need to live this life. Is to know that we have the grace to run the race. And we'll get there. We'll get to the finish line if we stay in line with the word of God. So if we understand, we got to understand what the redemption did, what the resurrection did, to look at it as one of those weightier matters that happened because of what Jesus did. It's not no light matter. It's just, you know, we can't take it lightly what happened on that cross, what happened while he was walking and falling with that cross and bleeding all the way till they nailed him to the cross. And he bled on the cross. And his blood went all down in the ground. You understand that redemption brings separation. You say, well, what do you mean by that, lady? What do you mean by that, miss, or whatever y'all want to say? What do you mean by that? Because redemption will separate us. Number one, it takes us out of death. Amen. Number two, it brings sanctification.
It brings separation. We are sanctified and set apart from the world. We're going to be separated even from some family members. Friends, old friends, there's a separation. We come out of ungodliness into godliness. It's a separation. So, when Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden, they enjoyed having that fellowship, that sweetness, that goodness, that wonderment of the presence of God. You see? But they were driven out. How horrible that brought separation. There's separation and sanctification. There's separation in a good way and there's separation in a bad way. Horrible. That had to be a horrible moment. It had to be a scary, scary time. Even when Israel gathered at Mount Sinai, and the cloud of God's glory comes down, and the mountain quakes, and the Israelites are told, don't you dare touch this mountain of God's glory, because if you do, you will die, my God. So in the tabernacle where the Shekinah glory of God dwells, and we can see the separation there of people from God's glory in the Holy of Holies, that only the high priest, I hope you're following me here, only the high priest was able to enter. It's a place of separation. Only the priest could go in. The people could not follow. And God was saying, don't you dare touch the mountain of God's glory. You can't touch it. And because of the work of Christ, this amazing thing happened. We are now welcome to live in the presence of God. Oh, my God, that's so different from then. God welcomes us. He hears us. He cares for us. He invites us. He communes with us. Oh, my God, thank you, Jesus. And you see, I and you could not have achieved this on our own. In the Old Testament, it was just the priest going in the presence of the Lord. Now, that is the only result of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the results. The results were in when Jesus, the result or the verdict was in when Jesus shed his blood, there was a verdict that came in because while he was being crucified, first he went to trial and they deemed him guilty. And after he was guilty, then he was crucified and then he had to die. His body was broken. The curtain was opened up, but it made a way for me and you to be in his presence. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. We could never have gotten this on our own. No way. We were all bound for hell without Jesus Christ. Just like they were put out of the garden, out of God's presence, that had to be a horrific time. And when we look back on our lives, before we were saved, sanctified, set apart from the world, we look back and say, Lord, have mercy, God. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your grace. Because look at how the way I was living. Oh, my God. Because then you can really see how bad it was. You know, because while we're in it, before we're really saved, before we have been sanctified, and before we really know about what Jesus Christ did, we're not thinking about it. We look back and we say, oh, that was horrible. Oh, why did I even say that? I got to go and apologize to that person that I cussed out, that person that I misused, like we were talking about Bishop's friend. You know, oh, my God. That thing about forgiveness comes over us, and we'd be like, I got to talk to that person. And that happened to me one time. I know for sure, one time. because I did something that, and I felt so guilty about it. So when I became born again, I'm just saying, it didn't happen right away, but one day the Lord spoke to my heart and told me, that person is still alive. You need to call and ask them, and you need to forgive. You need to forgive them because they violated me too. But I violated. I did it back to them. I thought I had to retaliate. Okay. So the Lord put it up on my heart to call that person. I had the phone number, and I called that person and I asked that person. I said, I want to ask your forgiveness. Would you forgive me? And the person said, sure, I'll forgive you. It didn't sound genuine, but she said, sure, I'll forgive you. But she violated me, and I felt like I had to retaliate. But now I know I don't do that anymore. Whatever people do, they do. Whatever they want to say about me, they say it about me. And I'm all right because I have Jesus Christ. I'm all right. I'm not bothered about it anymore. And I'm not going to curse anybody anymore. I'm not going to say ugly things to people. I mean, like I told y'all before, people have been in my face and said some insulting things. But because of the grace of God, because of the mercies of God, I just looked at them. And I just know Jesus saw it and he heard it. And I didn't, it hurt me when it happened, but it didn't stay. It didn't stay to haunt me. It didn't stay and make me feel like, oh, I should have said something. Oh, I should have done something. I should have punched them in their mouth. No. No. The thought never occurred to me. What occurred to me is this. Jesus got my back. Jesus heard it. And because they violated me, then they are the ones that's going to answer to God. I don't have to answer to God for this situation. They're the ones that have to answer. I've had to do my answering, and everybody got to do their answering. We cannot save anybody. We can point them to Jesus. We can talk about what we have learned and what we know and what we walk, but we can't save anybody. My God. So if there's anybody that we violated, if there's anybody that we did wrong to, then an apology is needed. A forgive me is needed. It's supposed to be, but God spoke to my heart directly. I knew what I had to do, and I did it. And I was like, wow, that happened a long time ago. And the person and I had been in each other's company and all that, you know, a few times. And we were acting like nothing happened. However, the Lord felt it necessary for me to say I'm sorry. Get it off. Just get it out of you. Get it out of your spirit. Just say you're sorry, even though you were done wrong too. But I needed to ask for forgiveness, and Bishop knows about this. So, here's the thank you, God. You know, things can happen. Places we can go. People we can be around can make us lose. It can happen. We can lose our sense of awe of the amazing truth that we are talking about now, the amazing truth of what Jesus Christ has already done. We can be around certain situations and go around certain places, and be with certain people, and we can lose that if we don't continue on in the same vein of worship, to worship the Lord like Apostle was talking about in his messages, these last two messages, to worship God. God is looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's how we worship him. And to know that as we walk in righteousness, that we can walk into the presence of our holy God. How awesome that is. But, you know, if we start doing things that's not right, there will be a guiltiness about it. And we might feel like, well, I can't go to church anymore. Well, I don't want to go in fellowship anymore. Some people feel like I don't even want to read the Bible as much as I used to, because that happens when we start walking on the dark side again. That happens when we've done something and we feel like, I'm not going to, and you don't ask for forgiveness for it. It happened, and so what? It happened. And it started out as something innocent, and then we end up doing something terrible because we're in the wrong place. And so that's what I mean when I say we lose that awesomeness that we feel about God, hallelujah, that awe of God, because that fear of God, for a better word, a fear of God, that we're not going to walk that way no more. We're not going to be that way anymore. I can't go there anymore. I can't talk this talk anymore. I can't listen to this anymore. I can't watch it anymore, But after a while, if you keep, you go back a little bit and start watching this, and you go back to the porno, and you go back to talking to the people you used to talk to, that old girlfriend and that old boyfriend call you back, or somebody you used to hang out with, say, hey, man, why don't you come to the club? The same old stuff, and vice versa. And you do that. And next thing you know, we're not reading our word like we should. This one's calling, that one's calling. We lose our focus. And, we've lost that awe, that fear that we have. But God got ways to bring us back. That's what, but why trample on the grace of God? It's like you're trampling on the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's something else in verse 21 here. In verse 21, let's look back at that. My Bible letters are so small. Okay, verse 21. And it reads, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with all full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with the pure water. And he says, let us unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. See? Be steadfast. Hold on. Hold on to what you know. Don't let the enemy come and steal what you have. Because he comes and he does it little by little. And he's so subtle, little by little. You used to read 2 and 3 chapters, and now you're just reading one. Or next thing you know, I'm just reading a verse or two. Or I used to spend a little more time in prayer, but now I'm hardly spending any time in prayer. So he says, since we have a great priest over the house of God, we not only have access to God, listen, we have advocacy before God in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus already ascended. And he now sits on the right hand of the Father. And he's there speaking for our benefit on our behalf. He argues our case. He's our wonderful Jesus Christ. He's our counselor. Hallelujah. And it's not based on anything that we would do or could do, but it's based on what Jesus has already done. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4. I got it crunched here. Here we go.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 14, please. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 14. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Amen? Hold firmly. These words are so, you got to hold these words dear to your heart. They're so wonderful.
Let us hold fast our confession, these words. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But one, you hear that? He's able to bear our burdens. He's able to bear our weaknesses. We are weak and he is strong. Amen? So we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Wonderful. But one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. So let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, going boldly before the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Oh, thank God for grace. Hallelujah. I don't know where I'd be if it had not been for grace. I know I wouldn't be in the place I am right now in Jesus. So, the one and the only one that represents us is not unable to sympathize with us and with our weaknesses. So I believe the word weaknesses, it simply means our humanness, our human condition. That's why I believe the Bible says we are weak and God is strong, because we have to deal with this flesh. Just like that flesh was talking to me where Bishop was concerned with his friend. But God quickly got me out of it. Amen. Like I said, the enemy will speak. Because you know what he wanted me to do? I thought about it after. He wanted me to say to Bishop all kinds of stuff to make an art. Why did you talk to that man? Why did you even say anything to that man? Why you didn't say something to him? But he didn't have to defend himself. He didn't have to go there because God has already made a way for him to be forgiven and to forgive, made a way in his heart, the heart now that's been circumcised unto God. He was able to stand firm and be the man of God that he was supposed to be, because it wouldn't have been the same thing if he had gotten on that man and talked about all he did to him. What all they did to Jesus. And it was done for our good. Because the verdict said, when he went to trial, he took the sentence of death so that we could come to life as he was resurrected. So the verdict that came in for us spiritually, not guilty. Not guilty anymore. I'm free. I'm free now from that death sentence. I'm not on death row anymore. Because as long as we're without Jesus, we're like we're on death row. Waiting for our day of execution. Because where sin abides, grace abounds even more. And the wrath of God abides on a sinner. So it's because of God's grace that we have time to come full circle in terms of spirituality. So the person we're talking about is Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, our superior, the superior of all superiors, the person who took on flesh. He became a man. He lived in all of the harsh realities of life that has fallen on us all in this world. He faced all the temptations we face. And so when we go to him for help, he understands what we're going through. He understands what we're facing. And we can be assured that not only will we receive his sympathy, but mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Which is what we all need in that moment of time, that moment of trouble, how sweet it is, that moment of temptation, how sweet it is, that moment when we're sick, how sweet it is.
the times when we are violated, how sweet it is. Those times when we have financial difficulties, family difficulties, whatever the difficulty, whatever the pain, whatever the disorder, how sweet it is to know we have grace enough to stand. Grace enough to stand on the word of God, not anything we could do. But God said, I'll turn it around for you. Just be still and know I'm God. Just be quiet. Be still. Stop complaining. Leave it alone, because I got you. I got your back. I'm your healer. I'm your provider. I'm your source. I got all the resources you need. Amen? Glory to God. That's what he's saying to us today. Leave it alone. Leave it to me. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Amen. Back to sin.
Amen. Amen.
So, there's so much here. Oh, my God, we got to come back again. So, therefore, since, verse 19, and since, verse 21, verse 22 begins with, let us. Are you with me? Notice verse 23 says, let us. Verse 24 says, let us. Let us believe. Let us believe in this gospel that we have just spoken of, that we speak of every day on this spot, on this Blog Talk Radio church line. How sweet it is, how awesome and wonderful it is that by grace, we got access to God. By grace, there's a high priest who understands. He understands me. He understands you, who offers us grace, mercy, to help us in the time of need. Now, here's the first thing. He said, let us draw near the throne in full assurance of faith with our hearts sprinkled clean of an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hallelujah. Like a canvas. You can look at your life like a canvas that comes to you, canvas. To paint this portrait. If you were a painter, I would be writing words on a canvas. And as I'm writing words on the canvas, I'm making lines. I'm making straight lines. And we're seeing the beauty of the straight way in life. I'm seeing words that there are boundaries, words that there's beauty, words is on my canvas, words that spell out my life now, amazing grace of God. And there's this picture, and you're painting some of the beauty in the world along with these words. That's just my imagination, amen. About the gospel that we receive. So what comes to mind is this word devotion. Am I really living my life based on the gospel that I received? My life will be a life of devotion, right? And it brings to mind the so-called modern church, a Christian church. We tend to talk about and think about this world, this life, this personal stuff that we're devoted to. Got nothing to do with spiritual. It's personal. And sometimes if you will, if you were doing a canvas, you see splotches and splatters and splotches and splatters of paint where my devotion wasn't so good. I'm supposed to be in devotion, but there's a splash. I splashed here. I splashed there. And it tainted my canvas. It tainted my picture. It tainted my way, my walk. But I had this canvas, and now I have this devotion on there, and I've got these boundaries on there, and I've got these words, you know, prayer and reading my Bible. And it started out with the words. It started out really good, you know. When I got born again, it started out. But then here come these splotches. Here come these splashes, a lie here, a lie there, a walk away here, a walk away there. My God, a whole day without the word, a whole day without prayer. And then we got these splashes of paint just going all over my words. My God, Jesus. And now that devotion is tainted. The walk is tainted. So that's what makes us concerned with the modern Christians that tend to talk about and think about this world, this life of that personal stuff, our personal stuff get in the way. It taints our canvas. It taints our canvas of life, the life in Jesus Christ. Sometimes it just seems that we just reduce ourselves. We start to get down. We start to bow down to the world instead of continually looking up to Jesus and bowing down to him. We begin to bow down to those things that we used to do. It reduces our time. It takes away, better to say it this way, it takes away our personal times of worship, reading the Bible, the scripture. Hallelujah. But now it's brief. It's not like it used to be. It's brief now. It's just one or two scriptures. Or if I used to do three chapters, now it's just one chapter. You know, when I used to pray, I'd get with my prayer partners and we'd pray a little while. And it used to be meaningful, more meaningful, and it really had some substance there. But now it's just a quick prayer, and we're sort of done our Christian duty for the day. Not the way of God. We can't shortchange God on time, shortchange God in our giving, shortchange God in our ways. There's something different. There's something different. The writer is saying, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Listen. Christianity is just not about our duties. It's not about the duties. Well, got to go to church Sunday. Well, let me read a couple of scriptures. The duties that flow, the habits, put it this way, the habits that first flow out of a heart that is owned by Christ, that deep, full passion of love in my heart to him, knowing that he is my purest, most priceless, he's a priceless treasure. You can't buy what he has to give. He has my love. This is how it should be. He has my desire. He has my purpose. He has my motivation. I'm motivated by what he has put in my heart. I wake up in the morning and I want to spend time with him. I end my day wanting to spend time with him, not because it's something that comes across as a duty or some kind of religiosity, but I'm assigned to do it in my heart. Hallelujah. It's my assignment. It's not just a duty. I'm assigned because the word of God tells me so. But because it's not just because I'm assigned either. Let's not leave this out. But because I love him. He owns and rules my heart. Is that you? Can you see you
Where are we now? Where are we now? How do we look on our canvas? How do we look? What's the picture now? Been walking a while with Jesus. What's the picture now? How does the picture look now? Is it flattered? Can you see the words? Or now do we have some blindness going on now? We don't see straight like we used to. There are some other things that's getting in the way. We got all these blotches and these spots and all these different things now. Hallelujah. Does he own you? Does he rule your heart? And I'm not trying to judge nobody. I'm not trying to push a relationship. We don't do that on Block Talk. We're not trying to push a relationship with Jesus into a heart that's really owned by the idols of the world. We're not trying to squeeze it in because it can't be done. It can't be done. Only God can draw people in or draw people out. He can draw us out of unrighteousness, draw us into righteousness. But this culture we have, it's materialistic. People dream all the time about being rich and having all these wonderful materialistic things and being with the, I'm just going to be with the one I'm with. My God, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm going to have it the way I want to have it. This is the good life, is what they think. My brothers and my sisters, that has never been the good life. The world will never be the good life. I got to put this bomb of truth out there. I know it's a bombshell. I know people are saying I must be crazy because it is good to have all these things. I'm not saying it's not good. But what's bad is when we put those things before God and make them idols, and now our canvas is getting blotted. We're blotting out the good things. We're blotting out the things that we once knew, the ways in which we once knew. And now our canvas looks like a big mess. Our life looks like a big mess now. How does your canvas look? How does your portrait look now? How does it look? And you close your eyes and see it. Where are you now? Where are we now? The world is not a good life. But what's the good life is when we come again and again and again and again to the cleansing that we receive through his body and his blood. And by the way, I celebrate. We celebrate. We should be celebrating Jesus to keep our canvas beautiful, to keep that beautiful garden that's all in between those words and the beauty of things that come to your mind, your beauty, whatever that beauty is to you, and you've got your portrait going, and you got those words in there, righteousness, holiness, hallelujah, Bible reading, spending time, fellowship, all of that is in there. But now is it covered up? Is it covered up? The devil has come in and ruined your canvas, ruined it, because now you can't see righteousness anymore. You can't see that you're going to, you can't see. You're not going to read your word like you used to. You're not going to pray like you used to, because he comes in and it doesn't always happen. It doesn't happen suddenly. It slowly grows. It slowly happens. My God, again and again, again and again. And then we create bad habits. We used to have good habits when Jesus brought us into a new life, and now our habits are bad again. We're going back into our old ways. So, I'm closing now. I'm going to close in a few minutes. So, today I gave y'all some heartfelt confessions. We got to do that all the time. And the Bible says confess one to another. I don't have a problem confessing. I don't have a problem. I know I have an advocate with the Father. And I know I can confess. But you know what? We got to rebuke those thoughts. We got to rebuke those things that the enemy is trying to tell us to do. We got to rebuke it and get, don't follow those thoughts. Because if I would have followed those thoughts, I would have been on my husband. I would have been on Bishop. I'm talking about that one incident now, about how could you talk to that man? How could you talk to that man like nothing ever happened? Like nothing, there wasn't anything, no big deal. It was a big deal. But God stopped me from that train of thought. And I didn't have an argument because that's my loved one. And that brought the stuff back to my heart. But, you know, the enemy was bringing it back. And that was an evil thing that was done. But it was a long time ago, and my husband has moved on. Bishop has moved on. He's got a new life now. He doesn't hold any animosity against anybody, you know, and I don't either. But when it was happening to me, I was quiet. I was quiet. Now, one time it happened, a couple of times it happened to me, and I wasn't quiet. I wasn't. I went with the flesh. But I don't do that anymore. I just look at it and turn my head. I turn my cheek. Okay, all right. That's the way you feel about it? All right. I go my way. I won't say that it hurts. I won't say that it makes me feel a certain kind of way, like that was ugly. That didn't taste good. That didn't feel good. It didn't feel good. But Jesus is my feel good. He is my everything. He is my physician, and he can just warm my heart. He warms my heart. Amen. He keeps me in his keeping care. He keeps all of us in his keeping care. Let's move on quickly. So every day, we should have our acts of worship, but really mean it. We should be worshiping him. We should start out every day confessing how deep my love is, how deep my need is for you, God. I need you more than anything, anybody, God. How deep it is in my celebration of you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love to celebrate you, Lord. And it's all because of what you've done. It's a matter of devotion of my heart that results in a life of worship. And as we talk about this, brothers and sisters, can you say, for real, can we be honest? Is that me? Is that me? How does my portrait look? How does my canvas look? I don't know if y'all went there with me, but that's where my imagination goes. So the second word that is talked about in this passage in 19, you know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. You might want to look it over yourself again. We should always go back and listen to the word for ourselves. So the second word I'll give you is action. Not just devotion, but action. He said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What happened when we wavered, when we look at our canvas and we begin to waver? So we hold fast. We hold on to the word we got. We hold on to our faith. We hold on to our confession without wavering because he promised to be faithful. So you say, well, Linda, apostle, pastor, whatever. Why would you say action? Because it's talking about holding. When you're holding, that's action. Holding on to your confession. You got to understand that your confession of your faith is never just something you do with your mind, your brain. It's never just something that you do with your lips. It always will be something. It's true belief that you do with your life. Amen? And so this is the way of living that's based not on the relationships that are around you or the circumstances that you're in. It's based on only one thing. Hear me. Don't miss this. Hear the words. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Here it is. For he who promised is faithful. I
I'm doing what I'm doing, not because circumstances are easy, not because somebody had to affirm me, not because our finances are working, not because my body is okay. I do what I do for only one reason. Can you say this? Because Jesus has promised and Jesus is faithful and I believe it. I've already received it and I believe it. It is my life. So here. We're almost ready to close. So now, I think that looking at it practically, look at this. If you're married, let's do another practical thing here. We're going to be bold to say, and we've all said it, person you live with is not always going to be lovable. It's not always going to be romantic. Come on here. Some of us know what I'm talking about. They're not always going to be lovable, but when people get married, they get married with preconceived ideas and they get and they're deceived into thinking that it's always going to have beautiful romance. The body is beautiful right now. Everything is just beautiful. But there will be days when that person may get upset with you, a bit irritable, not nice to live with. And right then, when you see some things going on and you see that the romance is not the way it used to be, I mean, there are things that happen with romance, but if it gets so that it's always that way, if it gets so that we're always fighting about little things, this, that, or the other, the discipline of the kids or the finances or whatever it is, your marriage at that moment needs Jesus Christ. If the kids are on the way or wayward somewhere, there's a need to pray to Jesus Christ about it. We need him for everything. And we need to believe in that moment, I have Jesus, he is faithful, and I will love, and I will be gentle, and I will be kind, and I will be good. Not because you're being nice to me, but because Jesus is faithful. Amen. This is the hope that we keep alive in our marriage and in every area of our life. Jesus is faithful. No matter what goes on, I'm going to keep my canvas looking beautiful. I'm going to keep doing these things that I'm supposed to do. I'm going to keep looking to Jesus, staying focused on the Word, so the picture of me can continue to look like Jesus. So if you're a parent, you need prayer. If you're a parent, you need prayer. We need prayer for everything. It won't always be easy. I've raised four. Bishop and I, we've raised four children. Some of us talk about heaven. We want our children to be this and we want our children to be that. We want our children to be one that loves Jesus. That's the main thing. We want that first, that they will learn to fear the Lord. We want strong-willed children. But strong-willed people is basically sinners because they're strong in their own will. Their mind is stayed on them. Their mind is stayed, not stayed on the Word that will give you perfect peace, but stayed on the ways of the world, stayed on my will be done, not God's will be done. And we know that we've been through this hectic day and nobody's listening. I've had a real bad day at work and you're tired. And you know you got to do the same thing the next day. You got to wake up. The alarm rings, we wake up. Every day, wake up to the same old rigmarole, the same old, but we got to do it. We got to take care of the kids. We got to take care of the husband. The husband got to take care of the wife and blah, blah, blah.
and you want to say sometimes, turn the alarm off. I don't want to get started this morning. I'm calling in. I just don't want to get started. I just want to lay here. I just want to relax. I'm tired of the same old, same old. And your mind is telling you, don't get started. Just turn the alarm off. What's going to have to get you off is that conversation. Again and again and again. Like we get up every day. And sometimes we're tired and we just don't feel like it. I don't feel like dealing with the kids. I don't feel like dealing with the husband. I don't feel like, I just want to be with me. But there's one person who promised to be faithful. And when you talk to him, spend some time with him, give him some time of the day, your day will go smoothly. You'll be able to get through by his grace. You'll be able to get up, begin to worship him, just like you gotta go to work, you got that things you gotta do. And we do it, but we also have to take time for God. There might be a struggle in some people's life who have been sinning in a certain area. And you made some commitments that I'm going to do better. I want to live better. I want to live for God again and again and again. But once again, you've fallen once again. You throw your hands up and you say, is it worth it? Why do I have to do all this work? Is the gospel really true? Why do I have to be, there's this adversity, that adversity, this trial, that trial, this temptation? And even while I'm going through and trying to do what's right, there's a thousand times, there's more failures, there's more this, there's more that, and it's really, really, really getting to my nerves. But I'll get up tomorrow, but we can still get up. We can still resist the evil because we believe that Jesus is faithful. Action speaks louder than words. Then you take some action. When you hear, the Lord will hear. The Lord is going to hear you say that. The Lord is going to hear you say, I need you, Jesus. Help me to get through this day. Help me to get my day started. Help me to get my day finished with a good finish. Amen. Can you say that to you? Have you ever had that conversation with God? I know I have. Lord, I just don't feel like it today. You know, Lord, I had my talk with God about different scenarios, about different things that's in my heart. So there's one more thing we need to look at, and then we'll finish. There's a third word here. Let us hear. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works and not neglect to meet together as a habit like some do. It's just a habit. It's just a habit that I call apostles. It's just a habit that I call my friends. It's just a habit that every now and then I just kiss my husband because that's what I know he wants, but I don't really want to do it. It's just a habit. You know, it's just a habit that I visit certain people. I really don't want to go, but they expect me to come, so I come. It's not true to the heart. You're not being truthful. But you see, well, I don't feel like I need to encourage anybody. I don't need to do that. But every now and then I might do it just because it's a duty. It's an every now and then thing, you see. And I'm not just talking about encouraging people on Block Talk. Because, you know, we're past that. We encourage each other. But we're past worrying about if somebody's going to come and encourage or they're not going to encourage. That's up to people. We do what we do. Amen? Everybody don't do the same. Everybody is not in the same place. Everybody don't have the same viewpoint. And we have to just accept that. Accept the way it is. And what we can change will change, but we can't change nobody. We can't make people do anything, and we don't want to try to do it. Amen? But we are in a place where we do what we do on this line. We do what we do as friends on this line. Hallelujah. We communicate with each other. We fellowship. Why? Because we want to. Not because it's some duty or because I want to keep this person in my life. So I know I got to call once a week or I got to see them every now and then. So you see, it's easy for us to have some kind of amnesia when it comes to the right thing to do. We get amnesia. You know that was wrong, but you got amnesia. You know so well that God said to do certain things, but you got amnesia. Oh, I forgot. Oh, it don't look bad. I didn't think I did a bad thing. That's amnesia. No, because God says to do it a certain way, so we're going to forget about it, and we're going to do it our way. That's amnesia. Are we an amnesiac? Or we have gotten into that? Are we just going to forget about it? Are we just going to forget about all the good that people have done in your life, all the good that Jesus caused to happen? Because he is the cause. He is the cause of the good. Anything that comes good, anything that comes is because God allowed it. Whether it be good or bad, God could stop it or he can send it. But he doesn't do evil. He does not do evil. There's nothing evil about God. But he allows certain things to happen in our lives. So let's move on. Let's hurry. Gotta go right now. So it's easy to be a person, a gospel person with amnesia. How easy it is to be dutiful. It's kind of easy. I did my duty. I led worship, you know, all the stuff. I'm not going through all that, but all the stuff we do in the church, all the stuff we might do for a friend every now and then. But sometimes the responsibilities and all the schedules, the everyday things in life tend to help us not to be focused and to forget who we are, to forget what we've been given. And so the whole message here, your walk with God has to be every day. Our communion has to be every day with God. When I say commune, I mean, you know, have conversation, commune with God. Not just taking the blood, the wine of, you know, the wine and the bread, but to commune with God, to be active with God. Actions always speak louder than words. So look at this. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Neglected to meet together is the habit of some, but encourage one another. All the more as you see the day nearing. The day is nearing for Jesus to return. You see, you cannot hold back on the things that we're supposed to do. We cannot make it be just a reminder. I got to remind myself I got to go to church on Sunday. I got to remind myself that I got to do my Bible study. I got to remind myself that I got to go. You know what? These are not reminders that you need. It's not a reminder. It's already in your heart. You just do it. You just do it. That's how it happens. We got to be intentional where Jesus Christ is concerned. We got to be is concerned. We can call it intentional, being Christ-centered, grace-driven, grace-driven. Why? Why are we grace-driven? Because we know we've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's a shame what goes on in the world. And I know everybody has noticed it. Everybody know about it. So we're not going to talk about all the stuff that go on in the world because we already know. But there has to be a boundary. We have to set, there are boundaries. We have to set the stage, hallelujah, for our lives. We got to keep our candles beautiful. Keep our portrait beautiful. Because even as we grow old, we're growing and bearing more fruits. You may have lines in your face.
He may not walk the way he used to walk in terms of, like, physical, your physicality, you know, is different. But you have the lines of life. You live long enough, you have those lines showing you've been around for a while. And then your persona just changes with Christ. Everything about you changes. Everything about your life changes. So we got to watch our private lives and our public lives and make sure that the two, the spiritual life, the private life, the public life, all have to line up with the word of God. None of it is separate things, but worshiping the same God, worshiping the same word, it has to be intrusive. It has to be intrusive in every part of your life. The Bible comes to intrude on your life. Hallelujah. It's intrusive. And when we allow it to be, when we let it be, then we're going to be fine. You know, the self-made people. Look, I did all this by myself. I did all of this. My education, the way I was brought up, this, that, or the other. Remember that song by Frank Sinatra? Well, I'm a little older than a lot of people on the line, probably. I did it my way. I was a young person, and I used to like that song. That song came out when I was really young. I can't say that. I can say one time I did it my way, but no longer. We have to resist the temptations of doing it all our way and give ourselves 100% to the Lord and flow from his love, flow from the holiness, flow as the light leads us. We flow, hallelujah, in holiness. Stir up one another to love. Stir up one another to love with good deeds. That's how you stir. It's action. That's how you stir people up. We don't have the same ability of Jesus Christ to read another person's mind. We'll never have that. So the only way we can minister is to build a relationship with people. We cannot minister to what we don't know. So how is it that a person, how can we stir up people to love? We do it by doing good deeds. We got to do good deeds. We got to love them, really, really love people. And I do it now because I live in the body of Christ, knowing that I'm needy, I know I'm needy, and knowing that I'm called to meet the needs of other people. And together as ministers, we minister to one another because we believe in the truth of the gospel. Amen. So wherever you need comfort, wherever you need encouragement, whatever you need, where are you in your needs? What do you need today? You can say, I need prayer. You can say, I need whatever. You can say, I need somebody to pray about this, pray about that. We're here for that. And I'm sure your church, whatever church you're in, whatever person that you're under, whoever your leader is, you can call and say, I need prayer. I need help with this. I need help with that. That's how we encourage. Hallelujah. And we talk about what has happened in our lives to encourage other people. It's not that we have to be some private eye, or we ain't nobody's, we're not looking into people's lives like that. We're not detectives. This is not that kind of ministry, but this is grace that we're talking about, driven by a person whose works are in the works of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we are driven by love. Hallelujah. It's not just responsibility, but driven by love. Hallelujah. we can't forget who we are in Christ and forget what we've been given. We have to stay in awe of the word. Amen. In awe of the word. So we have more to do. We got to go. It's after one. I think we still have time for the prayer of salvation. But I love, love, love this topic. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this topic. We're talking about our great high priest and how we are to stay in awe of him and how he is superior over all. And when we live that life through him, then we can do the deeds we have to do in love. We're going to take action where action is necessary. Amen. And we're going to encourage others and love our brothers and our sisters and show them that we love them by what we do. And show God that we love him and let him know how much you love him by what you do. Amen. So glory to God. Father, we are so grateful for this word. I know, Holy Spirit, it's time to go now. Amen. And it's very important that we go over this word again. I will do. I know the Lord will have us pull some more out. So let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for this beautiful message today of your sufficiency, of your sacrifice, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you take care of all of our needs, that you are our shepherd and we shall not want. We thank you, Lord, that you have made atonement for our sins. You defeated death, hallelujah, to give us eternal life, and righteousness has been given to us all who believe. So we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, beautiful portrait, this beautiful portrait of salvation and eternal life, hallelujah. This beautiful me, Lord God, that you have made as a result of salvation. This beautiful one that you made in your image, oh God. We thank you for the beautiful ones on this line that's been made in your image, God. We thank you for them. And we thank you, God, that you will keep us in your keeping prayer, in your blood, in your keeping care. The blood that's atoned for our, that made atonement for our lives. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We're covered in your blood. Thank you for your sacrifice, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And whatever the need of these on this line, just ask. The Lord say, ask and you shall receive. Ask of the Lord. Today, ask him to forgive you for your sins. And he will. Yes, he will. Hallelujah. Ask him. Make your confession today and ask the Lord. Just say to him, Lord, I believe everything I heard today. Lord, I believe that you are Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe you died for my sin. And I believe that when I confess and ask for forgiveness, that you will forgive me. I believe that when I get baptized, Lord God, that I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, today I give you my life. Take my life, oh God, and change it. Only you can change my life. Only you can bring me back. If I'm backslidden, Lord, I've been backslidden. Only you can bring me back to the house of blessing. Bring me back, oh God. And I know your love will bring me back. Your love has saved us, Lord. And we thank you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you. Thank you so, so much that I know when I get baptized that I can be filled with your Holy Spirit, filled to the uttermost because you brought me from the guttermost. I thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for those souls that's being saved right now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And if you don't have a church, please feel free to join us. We are at the church in the air. Hallelujah. Apostle, we're done. In Jesus' name, amen. We're done, Apostle.
Amen. Thank you so much for the word. What a beautiful anointed word. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We ask you, bless the apostle, the bishop, and bless all those that came and hear the word. Lord, we ask, God, that you bless their going, bless their coming. Continue to make them the head and not the tail, that you set them above and not beneath, O God. Make them the lenders and not the borrowers. We ask, God, that you continue to not only bless them spiritually, but bless them financially, Lord, that they would have more than enough. That what they say will come to pass for them and for their loved ones and for their friends and for their associates, Lord. Lord, you said that you would keep their barns to be overflowing. And we ask you, God, now to do it for them, oh God. Do it for us, Lord. Lord, that we have more than enough. So many people are hurting and so many people are reaching out to us for help. Lord, we ask you to, oh God, open the windows of heaven, the doors and the gates of heaven for us, Lord. And let the oil flow in our direction, that we will have more oil than we need so we can give. Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Mother Grant. I see you there.
Mother Grant is on the line today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I was listening to you the whole time. God bless you.
God bless you too, Mother.
Listening to the word, yeah, I was here in Publix, but I, you know, I got a book here. I'm just going to read. And God bless everybody on the line. Good morning, good afternoon. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
God
praise
bless
the
you,
Lord.
Good afternoon, good morning.
Praise the
good
Lord.
Good morning,
yes.
Good afternoon, good night.
Yes, hallelujah. God bless you. Yes, thank you, Jesus. God has a wonderful plan for each person he knew.
Yes,
even before he creates this world, what beauty he would bring forth from our lives. By Louis B. Since you will need fresh energy and new insight to handle what tomorrow throw at you, wait until it's dawn before taking it on. Some of the things you do today may seem totally insufficient so far as tomorrow is concerned, but stay at it. Charles Spindall. Steadfast love of the Lord never creases. His mercy never come to an end. They are new every morning, great in your faithfulness. This Lamentation 3:22-23. All the beautiful settlement in the world weigh less than a sample lovely action. That's by James Russell. Caring word, friendship, affectionate touch, all of those have a healing quality. Why? Because we were all created by God to give and to receive love. Jack Frost. May God add his blessing to his word. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen, Mother. That was good. Right on time. As usual, God has a wonderful plan for our lives. Hallelujah. For each one of us, he will give us that fresh anointing, that fresh energy. He'll keep us rejuvenated. Glory be to God. As we keep going into his word and spending time with the Lord. And that we were talking about that. You know, we go to our beautiful high priest, and he is going to keep us in the right place in him. Amen. So we thank God for this word. It was very, very good. A wonderful plan that he has, our wonderful Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we stay connected, because God connects people together. If we stay connected to Jesus, that Jesus connects us to others, and then we get this beautiful, great feeling every time when we all come together in the name of Jesus. And when we go to God and stay focused on God, we're always going to have our needs met. We're going to always have that wonderful feeling when we come out of prayer, out of time with Jesus, no matter what we're facing.
No matter what the adversary, no matter what the temptation, God will make a way for us to come out, to get up. Hallelujah, because we've been resurrected. Hallelujah. We've been resurrected to life through Christ Jesus. Amen. To a good life. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Mother. I'm excited about this Lord. I'm excited about Jesus Christ. Amen. Every day, you got to stay in love with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to come back. We're going to come back with a part two. We're going to be talking about Jesus all through the book of Hebrews. We're going to be doing this this book, this wonderful, great book. All of them are, but it's about keeping our faith and staying focused. This is not the time for people to lose their focus. It's never the time, but we're in some terrible, perilous times right now, and we've got to keep our focus not on what's going on, not on what's going on out there, not on what's going on in our lives. It is not always pleasant. There's a whole lot of stuff we have to go through, but we don't go through alone. Amen? Hallelujah. We're not in it alone. Jesus Christ is with us. And I started out the word talking about that. So thank you, Apostle. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. We're even excited about coming back next time because we're excited about Jesus and because we love talking about Jesus. I never get tired of talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. They used to call me, I forgot what Bishop used to call me. We used to take the lion hostage. He and Misha, my baby's gone now, but he and Misha used to tease us all the time about, y'all take, all right, now you're taking the lion hostage. You're taking too long. You better get off. You better get off. And we would just laugh. But we thank God and we love Black Talk Radio because Apostle allows us to minister the way the Holy Spirit will have us minister. He doesn't put a time clock. He doesn't put a time frame on us. Amen. And for those who want to stay, stay. And for those who want to go, go. But we do what the Holy Spirit give us to do. Thank you once again, Apostle. We appreciate you so, so much. Amen. We love you very much. And we love your family. We love y'all together because we're all one family. Amen. We love you too, Mother. We love you. Thank you every day for texting me every day. Every day she texts. Hallelujah. We stay in touch. Glory be to God. We thank you. And I thank all of you on the line who came to listen today. I pray the message blessed you and it has blessed us. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. And keep
thank
us
so
in prayer here in Florida because they're talking about a hurricane for tomorrow night or starting tomorrow. Keep us in prayer that it's trying to go away.
What, that storm?
Yeah,
the storm. Yeah, that storm that's supposed to be coming on Thursday. We say peace be still in the name of Jesus. Lord God, have mercy. Have mercy on us, oh God. We don't want it to turn around on anybody, God. We want it to disintegrate in the name of Jesus, God. We know, God, that you are able, God, to do all things, Lord. And we ask you, God, to have mercy, Lord. Hallelujah. And, Lord, we pray, Father God, that it just disintegrate and it not come at all. We don't want it to turn around on anybody else. We want it to go back from which it came, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we know, Lord, that they're doing things in this earth to cause storms, oh, God. We know, but God, you allowing it to happen, Father, and we're asking the only one that can stop it is you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, because we know you are the sovereign Lord of this universe. You are in control, God, whether people want to believe it or not. You are in control of everything that goes on, God. You have the final say. So, Lord God, we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen,
amen.
Thank you so much, Apostle and Bishop. And Father, we
You're
thank
welcome,
you for
sir.
The word. Lord, we pray for Apostle Minnie Jefferson right now. And God,
yes,
we ask for strength,
yes,
Lord. We ask you to continue to strengthen her. Lord, we ask you to touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Lord, touch every organ in her body. Touch every muscle, every tissue, Lord God. Lord, open her arteries and cause the blood to flow freely to her heart. Lord, and strengthen the heart muscles that they would contract and extract and do whatever the heart does, Lord, you know, to move the blood from point A to point B, Lord. Lord, let her don't have the pains in her belly, in her chest, waist, wherever, Lord, we ask you to heal her body. Father, we are missing our sister as a mother miss her baby. We ask you to send her. Bring her back, Lord. In the holy, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Great word. You already told me that you're ministering today and tomorrow, so you'll be back tomorrow. The Lord say the same. We are on this side of the grave. Great word today. As always, I'm not going to preach the word, but I looked at it. I looked at it in the NLT, and I looked at it in the Amplified, and it was so beautiful. It's so beautiful. That's a powerful chapter, very powerful chapter. But I took a couple of notes because I was tired. I didn't sleep well last night. I bought a silver book, voting and so on, and I went and voted this morning. But what I took here with this scripture for me, and there's a lot more. Excuse me, because I was studying with you as you was teaching, and you went to chapter 4, but chapter 10 was where I was. I was there. I was bathing in that. And what I got that you said, I got understanding Yahweh and the men and women that follow after the attributes of God. They can be living righteous and still make mistakes because they are not perfect as God is. We must take an inventory of our lives from the time. We must take an inventory of our lives from time to time to reminisce of how far the high priest has brought us. We grow wiser and become more humble with age. We can do harm to others and sometimes forget about it, vice versa. But if we don't repent and ask for forgiveness, it puts a hindrance between us and God. Because we have sinned, it doesn't cause the high priest to remove the blood which covers us. But sin brings a guilt in our conscience. Christ is always longing to have fellowship with us, even when we sin. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? When Adam and Eve sinned, Eve sinned as she gave to her husband to partake of the sin. God came in the cool of the day because he would always talk to Adam. They would always have fellowship. And even though they had this sin that became cause of hindrance, how do you know that it caused a hindrance? Because Adam and Eve hid themselves before they were walking carefree. They didn't have to worry at all. But once sin came in the picture, it brought a hindrance. And sin does the same thing to us. When we sin, we don't want to go back to the church building. We don't want to go to prayer. We don't want to go to choir rehearsal. We don't want to study the Bible. We don't want to fast. We don't want to pray. We don't want to read the scriptures because sin brings that hindrance and it tells you what's the benefit from studying. Ain't nobody going to listen to you anyway. Sin talks to you to cause you to have a guilt in your spirit that you don't want to even come close to God. Sin makes you feel like God get to a place that he hates you, that he dislikes you. But I wrote this morning as you was writing that Jesus has made a way. Jesus has made a way that we could get back on the right path to the Father by repentance. And then I said that the love of Christ is more than enough. The love of Christ is more than enough to draw us back out of that darkness that we have come into walking in sin. Because sin is a dark place. It's a dark place. When you get there, it keeps you. It holds on to you. It clings to you just like if you put honey on your hand, you get honey. We all love honey. I don't know a person that would say they don't love honey. I love honey. I buy it by the 6-packs or the 12-packs. I love honey. But if you get some honey on you, the only way you're going to get that honey off is if you wash it off. You can take a rag. You can wipe your hand. You can take paper towels and wipe your hand. And whenever you put your fingers together when they stay, you can feel a kind of clean because the honey is still on you. You got a lot off, but it's still a lot on. It's just how sin operates. And the only way we can get out and get off, get sin off of us, is with the blood of Jesus. How does this happen? Genuine repentance washes us, cleanses us, put us back on the right path. This is a powerful word, Apostle. And you know, in this chapter, I know you're going to hit that again some more because it's so powerful. It is so powerful. I looked at it in my phone. These people calling me nonstop. I looked at it here in the NLT. I tell you, it's so sweet. And that chapter, that starts from verse 19. I don't know if you look at it there. It's called to persevere. And what I like there, when he says, the way he says it here in the New Living Translation, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most high place because of the blood of Jesus. That right there, Apostle, did something to my spirit. The way he talks about the right of rightness in the NLT takes it from another, oh God, he takes it from one space and took it to another space, from one dimension to another dimension. As I was saying, as you was teaching that, I mean, it just bring goosebumps through my body. I felt needles in me. So, wow. We can, he said, dear brother, like, he really sees you in another light. The writer will see you. You are different. He didn't
That's
just
right.
say, brother. He said, I'm so dear brothers and sisters. You're special. You're peculiar people. You're royal
That's
priests.
That's right. You are. That's right.
So,
Amen.
See, this is the way he was seeing the Christians. He said, you, dear brother, we can boldly, hallelujah, that's a true confidence into heaven's most holy place because of
that's
the blood,
right. Hallelujah.
Because of who we are.
That was so
not because
good.
Of
Hallelujah.
Who we are. Not because
my
of what
God,
we have done,
God.
But because of what he has done, the blood that was shed. Do you know that the people now, those that are coming against Christianity now, they're saying, I don't know, you don't go on YouTube as much as I go, but a lot of even preachers and Muslims are saying that Jesus didn't die on the cross.
Oh, I know what they're saying. They're saying he wasn't
dead. Rabbis are saying that, rabbis are saying, and preachers are saying that he didn't die. That it's a lie. He didn't die on the cross, and he wasn't buried. He didn't raise from the grave. Because why? That blood, there's power in that blood. They got to see, as they say he died on the cross, they got to accept the power of the blood. See? Because blood and water came out of him to wash us, to cleanse us, to purify us.
That's right.
So they can't say he died on the cross. So I know what they do. And then he says here, when you say, by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Lord Jesus. In
My
death,
God.
As a man, God in the flesh, in death, he was more powerful than in life. Jesus, you hear what I said? As a man, God in the flesh, he was more powerful when he died than when he was walking around as a man. He opened that curtain that was blocking us from seeing God, from getting close to God.
Yes, Lord, his body, my God.
Yes, his spirit man tore that court curtain open, completely open.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
So we have access. We have access now to the tree of life. We can come to the fountain and drink like anybody else that knew him thousands of years before. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're an apostle. I'm not even going to cut it up anymore because there's so much today that I know when you go back there, he going to open much more to you. But I just want to bless you and Bishop for that word. When I got it last night, I said, yes, I know that scripture. That's a powerful scripture.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
I mean, you can't just put no one verse in here. You got to go all the way down. Because the more you go down in this apostle, the more it gets sweeter. You ever heard that people say? You hear the old folks say you get sweeter. Every day with Jesus gets sweeter. That's what this verse is. This chapter here. Oh, it's talking about the blood, man. It's talking about his life. It's talking about his resurrection, his burial. And this thing is so powerful that the more you get into it, Lord Jesus, that the more you live in that, that bee has, the more the honey comes out the comb. Hallelujah. The honey starts to drop all over you.
Hallelujah.
That's what happened here in this day. When you got to go into it, you start to go into it, you can start to see the blessing that God has got. It's not about money. It's not about diamonds. Man, this life that this Savior gives to us is right here in this chapter. It's right here. It speaks all about it. And you can see what he has done for us. It's right there, Apostle. It's right there.
Yes, Lord.
He gives us a hope that we can depend on. We can confidently say, yes, I know. As long as I keep on. And even, oh, God, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Even if I slip off the path, he said, I can come. I can come back with confidence. I can come back with confidence because he made a way. He has already made the path. You don't have to have nobody come with a machete and cut the bush out of the way for you to get on the path. The path has already been cleared out so you can get back on it and start walking back that straight and narrow path back to the Father. Repentance. I'm sorry. And that story you shared about Bishop. I had to pull something on that. I put a list something that I think of it. I don't think I post it yet, but I know the Lord dropped it in my spirit. And what he gave me when you say that, I put it here in this notes I was getting here. It was so powerful, Bishop Apostle. I wrote this, Lord Jesus, that we grow wiser, come more humble with age.
Yes, Lord. That's right.
This is what I heard in the spirit. We grow wiser and becomes more humble with age.
That's right.
God, that's so powerful. See, because stuff that I would do without even thinking about it when I was 21, 25 years old. I wouldn't even do it now, Apostle. People can get away with a lot of stuff now. Not that I can't do it. I got the strength. I got the help to do it. But, you know, I said, why trouble myself with foolishness?
That's right.
You know, somebody acting a fool. Man, let them just go on. Mm-hmm. They want to act a fool. You know, you got wisdom now. You got understanding now. You got knowledge now. My wife told me, she said, if you worry about everything people say, you'll always be in the hospital. You're always in the hospital fighting with high blood pressure, heart attack and everything because you're worried about people seeing this and that. Don't let them act a fool. You got wisdom now. You got understanding. You got knowledge. You're above where you used to be. The thing that had you pulling down now, you lift them up. Jesus. The thing that used to pull you down, you are lifting up now because you got wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Glory to God. Thank you so much, Apostle. I hear Brother D come back. I don't know if he wants to come in and say something, but he can. Come on in. Thank you so much, Apostle and Bishop. I know it's going to be.
Thank
I know
you.
It's going to be much power, much stronger tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord
thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I'm going to study some more. Mm-hmm. And read, study. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, it blessed me. It blessed me. It really did. It blessed me so much. You know, and it just brought me back. It makes you think about your old life, you know, this message, where Jesus brought you from. And that's where the portrait comes from. The portrait is just not the same. I'm not portrayed as the same anymore. You know, it's
different portrait. It's a different woman, a different man. We look different. We act different. We walk different. We talk different. We're just different. Not just because we're old, but because of what Jesus has done. You can be a young person and walk different,
yeah.
Be different, look different from the rest of the your peers, from the, you know. And you got young people that cannot allow themselves, through the blood of Jesus, not allow themselves to not be allowed to give in to the peer pressure. You know, so there are young people, too, that have wisdom. It's like Elijah.
That's right.
In the book of Job, he was the youngest of them all, but he had the most wisdom. He had the wisdom that was given to him by God because he was truly into God. Those other ones became the judge, wanted to be the judge and the jury. You know, they put Job on trial. And that's, you know, I'm not going to let nobody put me on trial because Jesus already stood trial for me. I'm not letting anybody put me on trial. You got to shut that down. Shut it down right away and don't even listen because the trial has already happened and I've been deemed not guilty because Jesus was deemed guilty.
That's right.
A man who knew no sin was deemed guilty for our indebtedness to sin and his atonement came through the blood. So I'm not letting nobody take me there. You're not going to take me there.
That's
my picture is different now. I don't have the same portrait. My canvas is different now. I came from one to another. Glory be to God. I've grown.
And I like when you share that too, Apostle. I like when you
praise
share that
God.
Too, because when you share that, not crossing you, when you share that, it took me back 25 plus years.
My God.
And when maybe a little longer than 25 years. I remember when I was in immigration detention center, and they wanted to deport me. And you know what took me back when they gave me the certificate of citizenship? It has a picture from back then when they took a picture of me. You hear what I'm saying? And
yes,
I look at the picture. I said, why did they had a picture there from now? Why didn't they use the picture from now? Because if you see the picture, Pastor, my wife don't see it, but if you see the picture, I looked like I was a jail man, a prisoner. My countenance didn't even, my countenance, Pastor, I tell you no lie, my countenance didn't have no life in it. I looked like a dead man walking. That's how I saw in the picture. And I said, no, I wish they could take this picture off and put a new picture on there. You know? But that's what this sermon did to me this morning, to me right back there. And that just show you how God, you could be way down the pit of hell, and God can take you out of there and make you brand new.
Yes, he can. Yes,
when he washed you off in that blood in this sermon here, it cleanses all unrighteousness.
Yes,
it makes you a new person. That's what it said there in that chapter there, chapter 10. It takes you to a new way of life.
Hallelujah.
You know, it was beautiful.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful sermon, Apostle. Beautiful sermon, Bishop. Beautiful analogy he used in there. Nice story of Bishop. Hallelujah. I bet you that person that was talking to Bishop, he was kind of messed up. He probably said in his mind, how he can talk to me. He never remind me of how I treated him, how I mistreated him.
Even the house that bishop bought for his wife, his ex-wife and his child, and Bishop walked away from that. He didn't take any of that. He said, that's my child. That's, you know, and they need the house. He walked away from that, and he walked away from that anger, that bitterness, that all of that had happened. And now to talk to this man, I mean, that's a testimony for Jesus. Because one time he wanted to straight up, you know what I'm saying, kill him or whatever. But God brought him out of the anger, out of the bitterness. We had our love together, and he just forgot all about it. But when it came all these years later, that didn't happen just by chance, Apostle. That was a test. That was a test for that man to call here and for him to talk the way he talked to that guy, like they were just still the same like they used to be. I was like, wow, this is something else. But that's what Jesus does. That's what he does, you know. But, you know, when you see something happening to your loved one, it strikes you more than it strikes them, it seems. It's like he's talking to my husband like he didn't do anything. I said, wow, you know, this is something else. But God straightened us out. You know what I mean, Apostle? He straightened us out. He'll slap you right quick, spank you right quick. Look, you got to come out of that. That, you know, and then he reminded me of that. I had to face the same thing. But it's good what God does. He gives us the strength. We have this character now, this godly character, where we really can. That was symbolic of a picture of Bishop just turning out a cheek. You know, just hey, it happened. It happened. It's over. It's over. And all of the ways of my old life is over. That's over now. I'm a different person, and I see myself in a different light. Amen. That was so beautiful, and it just fit right into the sermon because there's that atonement. There's that blood that cleansed us from unrighteousness, you know. And I didn't even think about that last night. The Holy Spirit put it on my mind to say all of that this morning because that was not nowhere in the notes, nowhere in it, nowhere, you know. And then the Holy Spirit was taking me different places in the sermon itself. He was taking me to places I hadn't thought about. And that's what he does. He just does it. And he's just wonderful. I mean, this is, I'm enjoying my life in Jesus Christ. I am enjoying Jesus. I really am. All of the wonderment of him. I'm just enjoying him. And I literally was seeing that portrait in my mind, you know, how everything was just messed up. And, you know, like you say, you look at those pictures, and you see how change has come, you know. And, you know, really and truly in that picture, and even in some beautiful pictures that we've taken over the years, not just that picture you're talking about, but you see a person that was younger. You see a person that was younger, but you also see that person who was lost. You see? You see that person who was lost and that wasn't in Jesus. But now the portrait is just totally different. The light is shining in your life, and you're different. It's just a beautiful sermon. It's just the Holy Spirit is just wonderful. I thank God for it. Hallelujah. Not because he used me to do it, but because it's just beautiful. He's just a beautiful Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm a hush now. Hallelujah. We got a lot more to do. I got a lot more studying to do. Amen. And I'm going to do that today. Hallelujah, and be ready for tomorrow morning. Hallelujah. I still had some more, but I got to get some more, but I had some more, but it was time to go. And I know I don't do the prayer of salvation like Bishop. I hurried it because it was so late, but Bishop was in his recliner just resting. He had a pretty tough night, and so I just didn't wake him up. I just let him rest. He did talk a little bit in the beginning, and now he's resting. He had a really rough night, Apostle. He really did. And I'm telling you, it was bad. But he, thank God, he's still here with us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah. He sounds all right today, though. But, you know, God is,
yes.
God is able. And
yes,
it's the song
is.
That the Lord would let us play this morning. He is able.
Yes,
you know,
he
is evil. No.
He's evil.
And we know that we got a lot of work to do together.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
we have
we
a
do.
Lot of work to do together.
So much more to do. Yes, so much more to do. I see us doing much more. And so I know he'll be here with us in the name of Jesus Christ. And as far as Apostle Millie, I've been trying to get her all week, and I haven't been able to get her. I'm really concerned, but I know God's got her. Amen. I know he's got her, but she's not returning my calls. And I know she's probably doing something with her family because that's what happens when she's busy with her family. You don't hear anything because they got her going here, going there, doing this, doing that. So, hey, God is good and he's watching over. So
that's right.
Praise God.
It's all right. But we keep it in prayer. We keep it in prayer. You know.
Amen.
And once she break loose, truly break loose, they're not gonna be able to get her back. She's gonna be right here with us.
Amen. Right here with us.
Yeah, I thought,
and we can't stop.
Yeah, I thought Deacon was coming in, but he can't even stop out. But if he's not coming in, Pastor, you can go ahead and pray us out, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Amen.
Spend some time taking care of Bishop, and Bishop taking care of you. When we talk to you later, okay?
Absolutely. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you again for this word, Lord, for what you have done today on this line, how your power fell and your voice is heard. Father, we thank you so much for your power. Thank you so much for your love. We thank you, Lord, for the light, you being the light of our lives, oh Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you have made us the salt of the earth, oh God. And we thank you, God, hallelujah, that the season word went forth, God, because the salt was there, Lord. The light is there, Lord, hallelujah, to expel the darkness. We believe darkness was expelled today with some folk, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for what this powerful word will do, God, that it will wash us. And when it washes, it can keep us clean. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, God. Oh, Father, we bless your holy name. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and Lord, we ask, oh God, as we leave this line, Lord God, we know that you are going to always be with us. So we're just going to say thank you, Lord. We're going to say thank you
thank
that
you
always with us. Thank you, Lord, that you anoint our heads with oil and our cup when it's over. Lord God, and as it runs over, Father, we want to thank you that it runs over and into others, Lord, so that they can get to know a beautiful, wonderful Savior, the one that we know, hallelujah, the one who has made himself known to us through our experiences. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, our friend. And thank you so much, God, for all of our friends that come to the line, all of the people that went on the line, whether they said something or not, God, we thank you that they heard your word.
Thank you, Lord.
And we pray, God,
yes,
that you heard them. And we want them to know that we love them, whether they say something
love
or not.
Them.
We want them to know
yes,
that we
Lord.
Love them, and we're so glad that they came to the line. Amen. And we invite them to come back as many times as they
come
want
on back.
To. Come back. Come on back and visit with us in the name of Jesus. Visit with Jesus Christ because he's always on this line. Matter of fact, he's always in you. If you're saved, Jesus is with you. You're never alone. And always remember that no matter what you're going through, in the name of Jesus, you are never alone. He is with you. So give all your cares to him. He said, I am your burden bearer. Let not your heart be troubled. He's saying to you today and all of us, let not
Jesus.
Your heart be troubled as to what you are seeing that's going on in this world, because I am that I am. I am in control. I am your sovereign Lord. I am your Jehovah Nissi, my God. I'm the one that's fighting these battles for you. So do not let your heart be troubled. And that's how you will keep hope alive in your heart. Give all your cares to me, he's saying. Give all your cares to me this day and every day. Surrender all to Jesus. And Lord, as we surrender, God, hallelujah, we have surrendered our lives. Therefore, God, we know that we are the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we
thank
come
you,
and when we go. Amen. We were blessed to come and we're blessed to go. In Jesus Christ's name. And we thank you for the wealth that you've given us, the wealth of your spirit, and that we are prospering in all things, in health, even as our soul is prospering through you, Jesus, from the atonement of your blood. Father, we thank you for the blood that our Savior shed for all of us that's willing to do your will. And it is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You so much, Apostle. We do they put
You're
you for part
sir.
Two for tomorrow.
Yes,
we'll see
sir.
You all
Amen.
On tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Take care, Bishop. And
I sure will.
We will hear from you. And know that God is God has you all covered. I don't have
Amen.
No doubt about that. And I know that Bishop
no
will
doubt.
Experience more strength in his body. And he will
yes,
be he will
yes,
stay
Lord.
Under
Amen.
The presence of the Lord. Where he
yes,
experienced
hallelujah.
The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord.
Yes. Their blood is your strength.
Keep each other, we keep each other in prayer.
Yes.
We keep each other in prayer. In Jesus' holy name. All right.
Amen.
All right. Bye-bye, all right, Pastor. Talk to you later.
Get some rest. Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Will do. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.